Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, the Rays split their series against the Toronto Blue Jays, Steve, and what I come out of this is that, you know, I don't know that they have four starters. I mean, Tyler Alexander, who came in after the first inning, didn't look too sharp, to say the least, and they lost that game 9-2. Swung the bats pretty well, you know, in the middle of the series. They were up 2-1 until Sunday. But I think this has been the concern. It was a concern coming in. You know, when you lose as many starting pitchers as they have, are they going to be able to have the arms? We know the bullpen is the strength of the team, but you get to that number four starter, and this could be a story throughout the year if they're unable to kind of fill that last spot in the rotation, whether it's with an opener, a bullpen day, or in this case, what they thought they'd get out of Tyler Alexander.
Well, and I think it started with the opener, Armstrong, who did not pitch very well and got him in the 2-0 hole early.
Yeah.
Which I think impacted Tyler Alexander probably.
Yeah,
but
probably.
What we've heard about Alexander is, they've liked his stuff, but in the past, he's given up too many home runs, and that's what he did on Sunday. And, you know, until he figures that out, I mean, that's why he's considered a number four starter at this point. And in an ideal world, he wouldn't even be starting for you if you had some of your other guys healthy, Rasmussen, Springs, Bradley, go through the list, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, Monday, you know, or the opening day, Eflin wasn't as good as, actually, he was really good for five innings and fell apart in the sixth.
Yeah.
You played very well. You know, the problem with what happened on Thursday and Sunday is you walked everybody. And I mean everybody. I mean, that's what, particularly on Sunday, what, 8 or 9 walks, whatever it was today. I lost count because, you know, it was a blowout at that point. But you start giving free base runners, free out. Your fielders are sitting there bored. And, you know, it's just not good. And Friday and Saturday, the two games they won, they played clean baseball. They weren't walking guys. They were making plays. They hit well. So, good Toronto team, a great lineup. You went 2-2 to start the season. It's okay. You know, you'd like to have got 3 or 4, but, you know, 2-2 is okay. Randy Arozarena, 2 opposite field home runs.
Yeah, that's nice.
Hadn't hit an opposite field home run since June last year.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah. He's at 2 now, and I can tell you that the Rays love when he hits it opposite field.
Yeah.
Because it means he's locked in and he's waiting on the pitch. Like, he's locked right in and waiting to engage with the pitch, to swing. They love it. Like, he usually hits it, pulls it. But when he's hitting opposite field, you know he's locked in, which is a good sign. So,
yeah. No, he's got plenty of power, and I think he, you know, he lets the ball travel. Usually when he gets in trouble is when everything's flying open and he's trying to yank it, you know, and you can see that the swing gets a little longer, you know, unless you let the ball travel. And so he doesn't need, you know, he's got all the power he needs. He just has to make good contact, get the ball in the air, and most of the time it's going to go. So it's good to see, you know, a guy like Arozarena have a series like that with a couple of home runs. You want
that from
him.
Made a great catch
him
on Sunday, too.
Made an unbelievable catch, yeah. I mean, defensively, I thought they played okay, and their speed showed up throughout the series. You know, Jose Siri could have stole about 12 bases if they hadn't fouled the ball off or grounded out or whatever. He ran wild out there, which was good to see. I don't know. You know, I think offensively they have a chance. They got a lot of the same guys if they have similar years, and you just don't know that necessarily how that's going to translate, but. You know, and it all comes down to the starting pitching. You know, I think the bullpen is deep and solid. And, you know, you go with an opener. Yeah, you need, you're counting on that guy to get through, you know, the first inning anyway, maybe two, but at least the first time through the lineup before you come in with somebody who's totally different, you know, kind of a soft throwing left hander. And the thing is, we become, and John Romano wrote about this in Tampa Bay Times, it's true. We're just so used to the Rays find these guys, right? Jeffrey Springs and others that, they run him out there and you're like, oh yeah, now this guy, I don't think he was on a major league roster last spring, you know? But you end up thinking, whoever they go with is going to be, you know, they taught Alexander how to throw that sweeping breaking ball.
Yep.
And that was going to be his, you know, his big pitch.
But let's also not make a judgment off one outing.
Oh, heck no. I mean, no. It's his first time on the mound.
That's one thing the Rays know is that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a work in pitching is a work in progress. Like,
no doubt.
You're constantly working and tweaking and tinkering. And when you're helping a guy rediscover himself or change some things, like every outing's not going to be great. And,
right.
You know, but it's the take the bigger view of it, the wider view of what's coming. And,
yeah.
You know, that's what you're hoping to see. I mean, one bad outing does not make, you know, Blake Snell last year, what? I mean, granted, Cy Young
got off to a terrible start.
I'm not comparing Blake Snell to Tyler Alexander, but he had an awful month and a half to start the season.
That's true.
And then you turn it around. Like I said, I'm not comparing those two.
They're both left-handed. We got that going for them.
Yeah, well, okay. But one bad outing, like, you know, not ready to write the guy off yet, but, you know, you want to see some improvements next time. I would just like to see, like, you get beat. I can't stand watching baseball games where you're walking guys left and right.
Like, oh, it's
that's
the worst.
That's what bothers me. It's just, you know, if you throw it there and the guy hits it 500 feet, he hits it 500 feet. But if you walk three guys ahead of someone who hits it 500 feet, now you gave up four instead of one. Like,
oh, exactly. Yeah, you lose the flow of the game. And you know, the one thing about Alexander is he has been, in his past, of course, much better against left-handed hitters. And so, you know, he handled Biggio and Dalton Varsho. They went 0-for-5, but then, you know, the righties kind of got him, you know.
Turner.
The rest of the lineup, you know, was 6-for-16, couple of walks, couple of homers and a double. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Turner in particular, he had a day. But that's what Toronto's lineup can do to anybody. And absolutely. I thought, you know, the way the Rays bounced back from the first game, they lost 8-2, then they came back and won 8-2. They swung the bats really, really good those middle two games and played good
Brendan
defense.
Brendan Lau, grand slam. Love to see
him. Oh, that was the old Brendan Lau, right? Big moment. Hit that thing practically in the fish tank. It was a no-doubter. Great swing. He had a pretty good series, I think, overall. Made good contact for the most part. And it's going to be a question of how long can you keep him healthy? You know, if you could have him, you know, for 135, 140 games, I mean, that'd make all the difference. We know he's capable of hitting 39 bombs. And this is a lineup that, you know, you think you have some home runs in it, but there's no guarantee that it's going to be the same as it was a year ago. So now, you know, they're going to host a Texas Rangers team, which is defending world champions and a team that knocked them out of the playoffs. So these first two series at home are, you know, not pushovers. You know, I thought the Toronto, you know, pitched really, really well for them. You know, we've also seen, and this may come to pass too, is that, you know, the Rays also had, remember they signed Jake Odorizzi to a minor league deal, and he's down in AAA. And they're going to kind of monitor him after each start. But I think, you know, you might see him up here. I mean, they use everybody, obviously, but, you know, when you got McClanahan, you trade Glass now, Springs is out, Rasmussen. I mean, come on. You know, how many of these great pitchers? And you need Taj Bradley back. You know, he's another one that I think they're missing. And Shane Boz, you know, is at various stages of his recovery. You know, so they've got some help. It's going to be one of those deals where, you know, you need more than what Sean Armstrong gave him, you know, to start the game. And, you know, if you count Armstrong's one inning, you know, as the opener, Romano writes this, that the relievers have given up 13 walks in 13.1 innings. That's just not going to get it done. You know, like to your point, you just can't walk that many players. So, but, you know, it's the first series. Good crowds on hand, I thought, for the most part, throughout the series, which was nice to see.
The crowds were fantastic. I was there. My family was there on Sunday as well.
That was a good day, yeah.
You know, not the best outcome, but...
No.
Everyone liked the Jose Siri necklace.
What's that?
That was the giveaway today.
Jose Siri necklace? Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone was loving
what's
that.
What's on that thing? It's got a lot of beads, it looks like.
Yeah, it's just like yellow beads with some blue ones, and then it's got the number 22 hanging from it.
Nice.
Yeah, kids loved it.
Yeah, that's a good giveaway. Well, he's an exciting player. I mean, if that guy can get on base, you know, you're certainly going to ignite your offense, because he puts a lot of pressure on the pitcher and defense because of his ability to run bases. You know, he's really good.
And so, just, you know, if everyone's panicking after a 2-2 start at home against the Blue Jays, the Astros just went 0-4.
Yes, yes.
At home against the Yankees.
Swept by the Yankees, which,
the Astros,
of course,
bullpen is a mess.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah. I believe the Astros were leading in at least 3 of the 4 games late, like 6th or 7th inning, and their bullpen just gave up everything.
Good start by the Yankees.
Yeah, they're hot. I mean, they're, what, 4-0, so...
The Yankees win. And John Sterling, if he's still around, is having fun. So just baseball is back. You know what's cool is just knowing that almost every day or night, you got a Rays game to watch, you know? And like I said, we talked about this before, my favorite time of the year, really, when you've got, you know, college basketball, we're down to the Final Four now. We talk about that in just a second. But the NHL, hockey, just to jump into what the Lightning is doing. Look, this is as well as they've played, Steve, from a points grinding standpoint. Is this nine games in a row, 10 games in a row that they've scored points?
They're 8-0-1 in their last nine. The month of March, they went 9-1-1.
Wow. I mean, that's stellar. That's impressive.
They are playing playoff hockey at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, you're seeing them improve defensively, be more responsible. A few chances here and there, but I mean, you're playing good teams too,
right?
You know, you're played Saturday the Islanders, who needed a win.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight you're going to play the Red Wings, who need a win.
Yes, they do.
Like, you know, these teams are, the Eastern Conference is kind of like, who doesn't? You're almost like nobody wants that last wild card. The Lightning are pretty much locked up at worst case the first wild card. They can still catch Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And big game on Wednesday at Toronto. They're 4 points behind Toronto for third, and they play them twice. The first one is this Wednesday at Toronto. That'll
be huge.
But Lightning are playing extremely well right now. Kucherov on Saturday night was shooting. And I mean shooting the puck. Like, for the last few weeks, he's been, like, the beginning of the season, he was leading the league in shots, had a lot of goals. Those have slowed down a lot. And he's gotten back to that pass mentality. And he's the best in hockey at it. So
Absolutely.
You don't mind him passing. There are times, though, you're like, hey, man, you should have shot that puck.
Right.
Saturday night, he was shooting. I didn't even look at the final totals, but at one point, 13 shot attempts, 8 on net.
Wow.
And, you know, that wasn't at the end of the game either.
Yeah.
And he's now second place in the scoring. It's actually McKinnon's ahead of him by a point. McDavid's behind him by a point. Like, it's a three-way race for the
squad. We had a mailbag question about him, and I think, I'm not sure who sent it in, but essentially it was, and I'll ask you.
Here, I can read it for you here.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was Jim. He says, Rick, accounting for goals or assists, almost 50% of the Lightning goals this season come from Kucherov. How could he not be the favorite for the Hart Trophy?
Well, I think you just mentioned it. There's two other guys that are going to be neck and neck with him, and I think, you know, the Lightning is still going to make the postseason. They're not going to win their division necessarily. It'll probably be a wild card. There's a lot of factors in that. I mean, it's, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? And I still think that there are some that may, and I don't know who votes for this stuff. Is it writers? Is it broadcasters? I mean, I'm not exactly sure, but you know, the fact that you know, he kind of rubbed people the wrong way during the All-Star game. He is Russian.
I think that part has very little to do with it. I think McKinnon or McDavid, or I think McKinnon wins the MVP this year. And I think there's a couple factors that play in it. One,
even if Kucherov wins the title, has the most points.
Yes. I mean, if Kucherov somehow wins by 10 points, which seems doubtful at this point, the way all three of these guys are putting 2-3 points up again.
Yeah. They're neck and neck. Yeah.
I think there's a couple things. I think, one, Colorado is one of the best teams, if not the best team in hockey right now. Like, you know, they're one, you know, typically an MVP comes from a team that's at the top of the stand. Now, the Lightning are going to make the playoffs, it looks like. But, the Avs and Oilers, and you could count Austin Matthews, who's got 60 goals for the second straight, only the 9th player in history to have multiple 60-goal seasons.
Yeah, and that 60 goals is impressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about the points and what Kucherov does to set up his teammates. Probably the best, passer in the NHL. but it's hard to overlook two 60 goal seasons in a row.
Absolutely. Although, in theory, the MVP should be based on this season alone, not what you've done for the last 2 or 3.
That's true.
But I think Kucherov is a sneaky good player. Like, McKinnon, McDavid, Matthews, one, they're centers. So they're the center of everything. They're taking faceoffs and they're bull rushing up and down the ice.
Yeah.
It's not Kucherov's game at all.
Yeah, they have the puck a lot. They race it up and down. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Kuch has the puck a lot, but it's not that aggressive, full speed ahead, plowing through people.
That's
not what Kuch does.
That's right.
He's slippery good, sneaky good, and he's the best at hockey at it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that, you know, you watch McDavid or McKinnon or Matthews, and you're just constantly seeing them flying up and down the ice.
They're just weaving through people.
They grab your attention when you watch them.
Yeah, they're making plays all the time.
Yeah, and so when you're the casual fan watching, or, you know, the writer who's voting on this that doesn't watch every game, because you can't, it's impossible, you know, they're going to get that. But also their teams are, well, Matthews' team's close to the Lightning, but the Oilers and Avalanche are, you know, two of the top teams in the West. And, you know, so, and the reputation precedes them too. You know, maybe the All-Star game has a little, but I don't really think that has anything to do with it. I think Kuch, you can't say he's not in the conversation for MVP. I mean, there's definitely four guys that are competing for the Hart Trophy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's those four. I don't think he'll win it because I think McKinnon or McDavid will probably win the scoring title. And it's just because of how, like I said, aggressive and assertive they are with the puck. Scoring, plowing through things. You know, Kuch is always trying to set his teammates up.
Yeah. I mean, I think he has no chance if he doesn't win the scoring title, I would say.
Correct. But, you know, it's still a, all these, if people are voting on it, it's still a popularity contest to a point.
Oh, yeah. And just like any award.
It's no question that McDavid in Canada, Matthews in Canada,
yeah,
McKinnon get more headlines, get more coverage than Kucherov does.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, some of it Kuch may bring on himself. Doesn't speak to the media much. You never hear from him, or rarely hear from him, right? I mean, that's all part of it too. You know, and when Austin Matthews is talking after every game, and you see clips of him in this, and Connor McDavid talks all the time, and, you know, in Edmonton, and Nathan McKinnon does in Colorado, and then Kuch you rarely hear from. It's a choice he makes, but that does impact on things. No question about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it certainly does. And then the other thing that I think is sort of obvious is that whatever sort of slow rollout that Andrei Vasilevskiy had when he came off that back injury, he's playing his best hockey right now. Like, he looks locked in, and they look locked in, a little more locked in as a defense. So the other night, I think it was against the Islanders. They were up 2-1. It became 3-1. But, like, you never got a feeling that they were going to let that lead go. You know what I'm saying? They just felt it felt like the old days when you're like, okay, we got that guy in net, and then we're going to play really well around him.
They had to weather the storm in the second. The Islanders pushed in the second.
They did, yeah.
But it's showing a good team that, look, in the playoffs, you're playing the best teams.
Yeah.
You're not going to dominate for 60 minutes. Like, you're going to have stretches. You're on your heels. You're in your zone constantly. How do you manage that? How do you get out of jams? How do you, you know, weather the storm, so to speak?
And, sure.
You know, the last few games, you're seeing them do that at points. And, you know, this is, we always say you can't turn a switch on, although this Lightning team has shown you in the past they can. And whether it's been Duclair and Dumba being added, and I think that's added I think that's a big part of this. I don't think it's the only thing. Because I think they were starting to play a little better before they got them. But like I said, since they've got them, they're 8-0-1.
That's not an accident. I mean, no, it really isn't.
No. I think it's done a couple. I think you hear them talk about what's happened in the room.
The energy.
And the energy and brought some life in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing Duclair particularly has done is Duclair is a top six forward. And he's playing in the top six role. Now you have everybody kind of slotted where they should be.
Right. That's true.
Before, you were trying to figure out who that sixth forward was and moving guys up and down. And you know, can Mitchell Chafee play up there? Can Tanner Jeannot play up there? Although he's been hurt some. But, you know, can Connor Sheary play up there? You know, you were kind of Mixon and Mack lines. Yeah. Now he gives you that depth on the forward part where you now kind of have your, you have your lines basically set. Mm-hmm. Okay. Chafee and Watson and come in and out for each other. And Shiri's been out lately, but you know, but you're talking on the fourth line, essentially you're taking guys in and out, but your top three lines are pretty much set right now. And it's, yeah. It's really settled things down, I think, in the forward line. And I think Dumba's been a great addition on the back end. I mean, would you rather have Sergachev? Absolutely. But Dumba has given them a lot on the back end. I think he's made a couple turnovers, but beyond that, like, he's played solid defense. And, you know, it's just, it's added some depth, and it's put people in the positions they're supposed to be in now, where they're ready and capable for at this point in their careers. And so it's made it a solid team, and they're starting to play well. As it, and the magic number now is, you have your magic number is less than the games you have left played to play. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which anytime, you know, in hockey, so their magic number right now is 8, with 9 games to play. Which means the Lightning can go 4-5 the next 9 games, and they're in the playoffs.
Yeah,
like they don't even need the other teams to lose, and the other teams are going to lose.
Right,
and matter of fact, you beat Detroit tonight, your magic number is going to fall a couple points. Depending on how the other, you know, the Islanders and the Flyers and stuff do, your magic number could be possibly as low, I believe, as 4 tonight after tonight's game.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely going to make the playoffs. It's just a question of, you know, are they the first wild card or can they run down mm-hmm. Toronto? And like you said, they got them twice. Just going back to those two guys, like DeClaire, I mean, you know, getting a secondary scoring from him, like, you know, he was hot when he came here mm-hmm. and he's continued that. And that's huge for them. You know, because you're so used to, you know, Point, Stamkos, you know, St. Kucherov, like mm-hmm. a lot of the same guys, right? To have another guy that's fast, that goes to the right places on the ice, that whether it's Stamkos, he can play on the first line or the second line, it doesn't seem to matter. He's been a nice fit, you know, just from a scoring standpoint. So, and he's been very, I mean, he hasn't slowed down since he got here. He's been very productive mm-hmm. as far as scoring goes. So, no, it's a nice run. My question would be whether or not, you know, you want to play your best hockey going into the postseason. Can they maintain mm-hmm. this now, you know, for the remainder games and then hopefully stay healthy enough to be hot?
I think that's the bigger key, is staying healthy. And right now, I mean, they're pretty outside of Sergachev, who's out for a while.
Yeah.
Like, they're healthy. Everyone is available to play at this point.
Yeah.
But another one, when we talk about players being in the, you know, in their positions now, Anthony Cirelli. It now has 6 goals over his last 12 games.
Mm.
Like, you know, and that's what, the 9 with DeClaire and Dumba and then 3 before that. Like, you know, he's starting to rack up points now. And as critical as some are of Cirelli, I think he's a wonderful center. Not sure he's always a second line center as far as scoring, although he has that ability. But now that you've got Stamkos and Hagel on his line, you're seeing him score more.
Yep.
Like, he's on a line that's got more offense on it.
Funny how that happens, right?
Yeah, and he's up to 18 goals on the season.
That's awesome. Like, that's,
you know, you want that center to be about 20 goals. That's about the magic mark there, and he's got a good shot to hit that now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just everyone's kind of slotted where they need to be. And, you know who looked really good the last 2 games? Is Emil Liljeberg. Who, if you remember when he came up, I think in January, stuck around for, I want to say it was around 10 games. Looked really good, you know, very physical, can lay a check, uses the body well. But he came up, played pretty well, and then kind of hit a wall a little bit. And, you know, that's what rookies do that. Like, they come up, you're excited, you're energetic, you're doing things, and then you start to get in that day, every other day playing in this.
The grind,
and,
yeah.
And it's not a step back, but it's just you kind of hit that wall, and you're now grinding. And, you know, you see this happen in all of sports, you know. So they sent him back down, and he went down for about a month, I believe, somewhere in that range, and played in Syracuse. And now he's back up, and he looks like a different player now. Mm-hmm. Like, you get that taste of it. You went up there. You played for a little bit. You did good, but you kind of took me, and I want to say a step back because that's not fair, but you kind of hit that wall. But then you go down to Syracuse, and you work on some stuff, and now you know what it's like to be in the big the show. And you know, you're working for that, and you're hungry for that, but you're also – the team's probably given you several things we want you to work on while you're down here.
Sure.
And then, but then when you see them come back up and then they play better than they were even when they first started.
Yeah. Well, they're hungry to stay here. You know, I mean, absolutely. That's a big part of it is like, hey, I got let go. I got sent down to work on some things, and now I got to come back up and prove that I've done mm-hmm. that. And, you know, obviously he has. So, yeah, this has been a nice run. I think it's the run of the season, right?
With this, no question about it.
Yeah, 9-1-1.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, points in 9 straight games is by far the best run.
Yeah, I mean that's outstanding stuff, and against some really really good teams as well. And they'll play mm-hmm. some more coming up here, as you mentioned. They have Toronto twice, and so feel good about the Lightning. Feel good about them going into the postseason. That's always a great, you know, a great time of the year. Nothing like the NHL postseason, and it'll be interesting to see who they draw.
Starts 3 weeks from tonight.
Three weeks from tonight. Wow, that's incredible. Just to see who they draw for that first round series.
And right now, it could be. I mean, right now, literally, their opponents could be New York, Carolina, Boston, Florida. Yeah, that's pretty much the at this point, it's going to be one of those four teams.
Yeah, all teams they've beaten in the recent mm-hmm. weeks. Yep. During the stretch. So that's been important too. All right. I just wanted to mention to check out the Tampa Bay Times on TampaBayTimes.com. I wrote a little bit about the Bucks, and we've been writing about, you know, all the free agents that they re-signed, sort of their own guys. There are about four of them that came from other teams that I think are going to be key players this year. And they're not going to get a lot of attention just because so much was on Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans and Antoine Winfield and such, Lavonte David, and rightfully so. But, you know, it kind of began with them trading Carlton Davis, you know, and two sixth-round picks to the Lions for a third-rounder, which I thought is good value. Problem is that Davis is a great player, but he's missed 17 games in the last 3 years, and he's the last year of his contract. They also are really confident in Zion McCallum. But that's not enough. Like, you need depth, right? You need depth and competition all over the field, especially at the cornerback position, because it's a high-volume, high-injury position, to be honest with you. And so I thought these two signings, you know, getting the Jets' Bryce Hall and the Texans' Tavier Thomas, those two guys are sort of your prototypical Bucks corners. They're mostly long, athletic guys. They can play man or zone. I think Hall, it could end up being a really good acquisition. I mean, 6'1", 202. He started all 17 games at left cornerback for the Jets in 2021. That was his best year. He had 79 tackles, 16 passes defense, which was like sixth in the league. But over the last 2 years, he's just had a combined 14 games, I'm sorry, two starts. And he only has two career interceptions, so he hadn't made a lot of plays on the ball. But talking to Todd Bowles at the NFL owners meeting, very high on him, says he's really intelligent. He's a lot like Zion and Jamal Dean in terms of his length. Good man-to-man guy, good feel for zone. So, there will be competition. They're not just going to hand it to Zion McCallum, but certainly you need three corners because somebody's got to play the nickel, you know, the nickel slot position. And that's where I think a guy like Thomas will compete, you know, with Christian Isian from last year. And Thomas is a guy I think that he's going to help them right away on special teams. Good tackler, a guy that can play a lot of different positions if you need him, certainly down in the box in that slot position. So those two guys will really help them. And then on the other side of the ball, they added two interior offensive linemen that I think are going to be a story in training camp. Former Giants guard center Ben Bredesen and the former Eagles guard Sua Opeta. Bredesen is a guy that's played a lot. He played at Michigan, as you know, Steve, fourth-round pick of the Ravens. He started 25 of the 45 games he's played. But he's also a guy that can play center or guard. And it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, if one or more of these guys really shine, if they would give Robert Hainsey a real challenge at center. You know, that's going to be something to watch. Opeta's a really big guy, 6'4", 301, very strong. Had like, I don't know, 37 reps or something like that coming out of college and at the combine with the 225. But really strong guy. That I think, you know, not having Nick Leverett, not having Aaron Stinney, and, you know, these guys are going to be fighting for starting jobs. And so I'm looking forward to those four players. You know, we talk so much about the ones that they re-sign. And then I think this was something else I wrote about in Sunday's Tampa Bay Times, is that, it's time now to find out who's next on the receiver position for Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You know, I mean, Evans signed a 2-year deal, but he's going to be 31 when the season starts, I think. Chris Godwin's in the final year of his deal. They've been such good receivers for so long that you kind of take for granted that, you know, they're back and they're going to play forever. But they really don't have someone locked in as a third receiver. And this is a deep receiver draft. Like, this is one that you can get some quality players in the first three rounds. But would not surprise me if they were if an elite receiver, someone they deem worthy of a first-round pick, if that's what they get. You know, I mean, I think their needs probably start with outside linebacker. They need a pass rusher. They need somebody off the edge. Certainly offensive line is always a place that they could use players. Inside linebacker, you know, Levante David's 34. So there's definitely spots and needs that they have. But wide receiver is just something they need to start addressing. Where's your next Mike Evans coming from? Where's your next Chris Godwin coming from? You know, you got to draft those guys fairly high to get that kind of player. So, you know, don't be surprised if the wide receiver position is addressed early in this draft. It'll be something to watch for sure.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And finally, the final four is set. I don't want to know about your bracket. I don't care who you had. Okay. It's not that interesting. And I didn't do one, but if I had, I wouldn't bore you with it. But we do know who the final four are. And there is at least one surprise, I think, just based on their seeds. But I think you go chalk, right, with UConn.
UConn's a machine right now.
Yeah.
And 30-0 run against Houston.
It's just incredible. I mean, they look like a team that's going to roll through this thing and probably win it again. And congratulations to University of Alabama. They beat Clemson. That was like a SEC title game or not SEC, like a college football game.
Yeah, championship game.
Yeah. How many times have we seen that? But good basketball being played down at the University of Alabama. And my favorite team of the Final Four is NC State. And if you look at what they did to get here, I think they won their last 8 or 9 games in the regular season. They end up beating North Carolina in the ACC tournament.
First team ever with 14 losses in the Final Four.
Incredible. And first time since Jim Valvano that an NC State team, 1983, right? We remember that tremendous run to a national championship. So NC State, and the favorite player of the entire tournament is this DJ Burns cat, this big, and I mean big. He's about 6'7", 6'8", but I got to think he's pushing 3 bills, so I'm not exactly sure. Saw a lot of tweets from football people thinking this guy could be a really good tackle or something like that. And but a big smile, great guy in the perimeter and around the basket especially. And just plays with an energy, blocks shots, does everything, and looks like he's having the time of his life. And why not? I mean, he's kind of put NC State on his back, and they roll all the way to the Final Four. And then who's the final team? Like, I got UConn, I got
Purdue,
of course. Yeah, again, the number two seed in the tournament, one or two, and the first time in almost 40 years that Purdue. I think
yes, 1980 was the last time. It's also the first time that the leading scorer in college basketball made the Final Four.
Is that right?
Since Oscar Robertson.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's going back way back.
But you're talking 1960.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know you don't care about anybody's brackets, but I do have a funny story.
Okay, go for it.
So I told you my kids filled out a bracket for the first time.
Oh, yeah. They were doing well from what I last talked to.
Well, neither one has any of the teams in the Final Four, and they're devastated.
They don't have any teams?
They've got none. They have none of the Final Four teams. They are done.
Oh.
And they are devastated. They're like, welcome to sports.
Yeah, man. You think you got it all figured out, huh? So nobody went chalk, because if you'd gone chalk with Purdue and UConn, you'd have been okay.
I have Purdue. I mean, not that anyone cares about the brackets, but
right.
And my wife had UConn in there. So, but my kids, the two kids, first brackets ever, got none of those right.
Yeah, my daughter got involved in some kind of pool, and I said, "Did you have to win the Final Four or what?" And she wasn't really sure, but she says that because she you know, everybody picked a team because Purdue was in the Final Four, that that's all that was required. So,
okay,
for entertainment purposes only, I'm sure.
Well, absolutely.
She was rooting hard for Purdue, just nonetheless. It's going to be a great Final Four. I mean, I still think that UConn, the way they're playing, is far and away the best team in the country have been pretty much all year. I'll tell you the game I'm looking forward to, and I think that's tonight. Is it LSU-Iowa in women's basketball?
Yes. That's going to be a great game.
That is must-watch TV. I saw that game. I was in Denver. I'll be headed back out there later this week, but I was in Denver this time last year when that game was played, and you remember mm-hmm. the ratings were off the chain.
Well, that was the national championship.
That was the national championship, and it was the first time probably in a long time that I got really excited watching this basketball game. It was a great game. It was well played. Obviously, a lot of good storylines and whatnot with Angel Reese and the player of the year. I mean, you know, geez, mm-hmm. I mean, Iowa, it's to me.
It's too bad it's in the Elite Eight and not the Final Four.
It should be in the Final Four, right? Like, how did I guess because LSU wasn't seeded quite as high as Iowa?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe they kind of ended up in this juncture here.
Yep.
But yeah, it would have been better if it was even a national championship game, but somebody's going to go home. And I'm looking forward to that game as any game that the men have in the Final Four. It's going to be tremendous. So got a lot of things going on this week. Of course, you mentioned the Lightning back in action. The Rays will begin to host the Texas Rangers. The world champions are coming to town. See if they can build on that 2-2 .500 record that they've begun with now in the American League East. A couple games behind the Yankees already, but that's okay. We still got a whole bunch of baseball ahead of us, so that'll be something to watch. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.